Okay, today's daf is Yerushalmi Psachim Daf Chav Dalet, and we are on Chav Gimel Amabez, a couple lines up from the bottom. So we saw in the Mishnah on Chav Gimel Amad Aleph, the Mishnah spoke about if there is dough, if there is batzek shebesidkike areva, there's some cracks in the kneading bowl. So if there is dough stuck in there, does one have to get rid of that for Pesach or not? So the Mishnah said, if there's a kezias in one spot, that's too much, you have to get rid of it. But if there isn't a kezias, pachas bikan, then it's batel. Then it's batel. And the Bavli says, well, maybe it depends. If you want it there, if it's asu lachazik, if it's there to be lachazik the bowl, then it's part of the bowl, and then it's batel. So that was all part one. Then the Mishnah said, v'chein le'inyin hatumah. Also regarding tumah, meaning if I have to tovel this kli, and there is dough that is on it, so usually you have to take off any type of interposition in times of chatzitza. So you have to take off any chatzitza, and then one would be able to tovel it. So v'chein le'inyin tumah. So says the Mishnah, im hikbad alav chotzeitz, im rotzei b'kiyum ha'rebar kareva. If you're makbid it, if you're to be there, you don't want it to be there, then it is chotzeitz when you tovel it. Im rotzei b'kiyumo ha'reyu ka'areva. And if you want it to be there, then it becomes part of the areva. So it's interesting that the Mishnah says v'chein le'inyin tumah, and then the Mishnah describes how you mitaher it. I would have thought that means regarding tumah too. It depends if this is touched by tame, it doesn't make the whole bowl. But that's not what the Mishnah continues to say. It says v'chein l'inyan tumah, and then it says if you're makbid on it, then it's chotzeitz when you tovel it, and if you're not makbid on, then not chotzeitz. So that's what the Gemara picked up on Chav Gimel on the base here. The Gemara says, right, if you're makbid alav chotzeitz for tevila, and if you're not makbid alav chotzeitz for tevila, then the Gemara said in the middle of Chav Gimel on the base. And the same halachas would apply for tefillah and hazaya, right? If for toveling it chatzitza and for sprinkling the ashes of the para aduma on it for hazaya, the same rules that if you're not makbid and it's part of the kli, then if you sprinkle and the water touches this piece of dough, it's still as if this was sprinkling on the whole kli. So that's what the Gemara extended it to. And then the Gemara says, what about tumah? Eino chibla tumah? Isn't that what the Mishnah said? V'chein le'inyin atumah, and then gave two example of tara. So what about the pashup shot of tumah? So Gemara says, yeah, it means that too, because the next line min hadam rotzehu bekiyuma haru ka'areva v'imlav kigufa shal areva. So that next line, which is reflecting that it's part or not part of the areva itself, so implicit in that is the laws of tumah as well. Meaning, if you have something tummy that touched this dough that's in the areva. If it's dough that's meant to be there and that's part of the kneading trough, kneading pot, so then that would be able to transmit the tumah as well. Period. Reb Shimon, so that's what we're up to. Reb Shimon Lakish. Reb Shimon Lakish Amar. Reish Lakish says, Kach Shana Rebbe. Rebbe said the following against what we just said. What did we just say? That the laws, for the same rules would apply. If you want the dough to be there and you're not chotzeitz, that's considered part of the kli. And if you plan to take it off, so then it's not. The same rules would apply, we said, for tevila and for hazaya. Says the Gemara, named Reish Lakish, Kach Shana Rebbe, Tsoa Shetachas HaKisei. If there is dirt, some type of excrement, something stuck under the bottom of a chair, and it is helping, as we'll see, strengthen the chair, it's there to give it an extra layer of support. Chibor Lutuma, Veinu Chibor LaHazaya. There's a chilek. There's a chibur for tumah because it's machzik the clay so it doesn't break, says the Karban Eida. Shu machzik hakli shaloti shaver. So it's a chibur for tumah, but it's not a chibur lahazaya. That if it's sprinkled on, that it's not called. If you sprinkle on this extra dough, it's not called that you sprinkled on the kli. We'll explain why, but there's a chilek between the two. Reb Shimon Lakish, b'shem Reb Shimon Bar Kahana, says the following. The following also expresses that this chilek. Aver hamedoldol, if there is a limb that is dangling, that is somewhat connected, but it's not fully connected, tziporin medoldeles, or a fingernail that is half off, or big halachas on Hilchos Shabbos, by taking off a half-cut fingernail, v'tzorach tachas akisei, or this case that we're talking about, they have dirt or excrement underneath the chair, all of these items are not really needed. They're not really, they help out a little bit. I mean, the dangling is not really needed, but even the kisorj dach zakisei. It's not really needed for the share. It gives a little extra support, but it's not really needed. Or the hiduk. Hiduk is like lahadik, to tighten, to reinforce. Kiruya Haberia. Switch that gears. Chaim Gadievsky has the enforcement, the reinforcement of a strong gourd shell. Remember, we've discussed already. Sometimes imagine, like, I don't know, a half of a watermelon shell or a gourd shell. They used to use those for like a pail. They used to hollow it out and then strengthen it. But what if it's a nice strong shell? But you put some reinforcement on the outside with this dough. So you don't really need it. It's bria. It's healthy. So in all these cases, Rabbi Yossi bar Bun Amar, or one more, Af Kishus Shel Katan, we'll have that as a gear. So also sometimes the baby, the fuzz on a baby's body that's not going to be there forever is going to fall off. Some type of little hair there. So all of these things, Chibur L'Tuma Veino Chibur L'Hazaya. All these things are Chibur for Tuma. They're considered connected to the item for Tuma. If something Tame touches any of these items, touches the dough that's supporting the pail, or that's so on the, under the kisei, it's a chibur for tumah, but not a chibur for azaya. So Rish Lakish says, so you see, don't just say in our Mishnah that the same rules would apply to azaya. What's the difference? Ma bein tumah, ma bein azaya, why should there be a difference? If it's part of the item, it's part of the item. What difference should it make? Rabbi La says, because there's a difference with what the pasuk says. Ba'azaya, ksiv, by Hazaya, it says, V'hiza al ha'ol va'al kol ha'kelim. By Tumas Meis, it says, it should be sprinkled on the ohel, if it's Tame, and on all the kelim, the kli. The kli itself needs to be sprinkled on, and al kol ha'mikaimim shebukli. And all the things that the kli needs to exist. That it's strengthened with the kli. See the Chaim Kanievsky on top. Mashu kiyam akli. Kagon, let's say the keruya, let's say that gourd we were just talking about is re'u'a. It's inferior. And you would need this reinforcement to hold it together. That would be part of the kli. Or the chair, if the chair is totally falling apart without the tsoa under it, that would be falling apart and that's called part. But other than that, it's just the kli or something that is really the kli needs. But these items on the list, the kli doesn't really need them. And therefore, it's not called part of the kli. So for hazaya purposes, for sprinkling of the paraduma water, it's only the kli itself or some type of accoutrement or strengthening that the kli needs. So it's a more limited, and that's why all these things are not called a chibur for hazaya. Bramhacha, but when it comes to tuma, lachem, the pasuk says lachem, right? The pasuk says timeim yihyu lachem, and therefore, kol shulatzorach lachem, anything that helps out the item, the kli, is included in the world of tumah, and therefore the law would be that the butzik, the dough, is considered part of it and not separate. It sounds like from this line of the Gemara that this is a chiluk daraisa, right? It's based on psukim. The Bavli, daf memches, daf memtes, seem to be it's a din derabanan, that it's not considered part of the kli, but again, here it seems to be a chiluk on a daraisa level. Okay, we continue. Taman Amrin, it said there, other types of precautions regarding chametz. Tarakta is some type of spongy bread. You see the carbon aid that says sufganin. We're familiar with that from Mishnayos and Challah and the Shah and Brachas. Rakikim dakim, the carbon aid that says blilaso racha. Right, it's a flowing dough. Right, not a thick dough, and it's thin. Busufganin, and it's sufganin. So trikta, so trakta hoyer Rabbi Yisrael mevirchad. Make one at a time. Making one at a time would be okay, because then you could be very careful and focus on it to make sure it doesn't become chametz. But trei tlasa aser. But two or three, you know, we're nervous that it's aser, and not only that you could be careful of it, but if you make two or three, assuming one after another, it's very sticky. And you can have some dough that remains on your hands as you go into do the second dough. And therefore, we wouldn't allow you. Rabbi Yitzchak says, you know, not a good idea to do it one after another. Trei tlasi aser. Ella in shaza yadei b'maya, unless you wash your hands very well in between. If you wash your hands well in between, then you'd be able to do it one after another. Okay, so that's why it's gotta make sure you have a washing hands. Interesting, Rabbi Yitzchak, right? We've noted that there are some names, for some reason, there are very few biblical names that are not really used in the Talmud. There's a Rabbi Yitzchak, there's a Rabbi Yaakov, there's a Rabbi David HaMelech,
Moshe, Avraham. Right. So it's some reason. If we could find one, a couple of years ago. Avraham, Moshe, David. For some reason, those names were not used by the Tanoim and by the Amoraim. Later on, in the Gaonim, there's a Gaonim named Moshe, and there are many Rishonim named Moshe. But Avraham and Moshe and David, maybe they were considered too kadosh, whatever it is to use. But many others, Yitzchak, Yaakov, many of the Shvatim, right, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, right, many of them, not all the Shvatim, but some of them, Binyamin, Rabbi Yosef, all of those were used in the Gemara. Okay, so Rabbi Yitzchak here says, only do one at a time because you don't want to have stuff left on your hands. Tani, Kuvtios, Birtios, Tzarech Levayer. What are these? Again, are there some types of mixtures of herbs, but you also put in some flour for texture or to hold it together, to hold the other ingredients together. So you might have thought that that's batel. Just put in a little flour. So it's batel, so you don't have to be mevayer. No, you have to be mevayer. It says look at the Pnei Moshe in the middle of the skinny lines. Ein minei rekikin. Asuyin mi markachi besamim. There are types of wafers, crackers, that are made with spices. Venostim ma'at kemachumayim. You put in a little flour and water, kedei l'dabkan, to hold it together. The kamash malan, de lo amrino, genus batel ma'at kemach shebetocha. We don't say that, it's negligible. And it's a tiny little flour, don't worry about it. V'yachol l'kai manat achar ha-pesach. No, you gotta get rid of it. Right? D-book does have, importance in halacha, let's say for Hilchos Brachos. Right, we know the law in Hilchos Brachos is that mizonos is never batel. We put in grain, right? That can never be tafel. Kol shu mishiva minim from the five grains, but there are exceptions to the rule. So, for example, meatballs. Usually, there's some flour in there, but it's there to hold the other ingredients together. So, if flour is in there only for the hold the other ingredients together. Then it can be batel. And that's why we would say a shahakol on meatballs, right? Because we go by the meat, even though there's flour in there. Some cases get a little tricky, right? Licorice is a big discussion in the poskim about most to make a shahakol because there's flour in there in order to hold the other ingredients together. Some say it's more for texture and therefore won't make a mizonos on it. But schnitzel is the big so the minhag ha'olam is to make a shahakol on schnitzel. That's the minhag ha'olam. Even though if you think about it, there's a lot of breading in there. There's a lot of breading, and there are those that might only dafka on schnitzel and not grilled chicken because of the breading. So it makes a difference. That's not so. Is that only there so it doesn't burn? L'chol or not? But that's the minhag ha'olam. That's the minhag ha'olam that the ikar is the chicken, the breading is tafel. Okay, but that's not there. Just l'davik. Not there. Just l'davik. Okay, so says the so Rabbi Yitzchak says you have to wash your hands in between. And kuftios birtios yidui mevar. Hoy Rabbi Yosi beilein polilaina tzarech levar. Rabbi Yosi says by these other items also the polilaina. Again, it's some type of mixture that you put a little flour in with other ingredients. Rabbi Yavo b'shem Rabbi Yochanan batzik shetzinein. Now we're up to back to the last line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that if you have a deaf dough. Batzek hacherish, right? A deaf dough. So what did that mean? You don't see, it's like you say to somebody who's deaf and they don't react. So you play around with this dough and nothing happens. There are no simanim of chimutz in it. Batzek hacherish. So the Mishnah said, well, if you cooked it with five other doughs, look at the other doughs. So if the other doughs are already showing signs of chimutz, so this one too, you could assume also has signs of chimutz, right? That's what the Mishnah said. Im yesh Kayotse bo, shehechmitz hariza aser. Right, that's what the Mishnah said. So says the Gemara now, why would it not have shown signs of chimitz? So basik shetzinein. Maybe it cooled off a little bit. And that's why it doesn't show signs. Right? It doesn't show signs. It cooled off. And that's why it doesn't show. But what happens? So look around at the other dose. Lo hayasham acher kayotse bo shehechmitz hatechan. What if you don't see any other dose? There are no other dose there to compare it to. So how long do you have to wait to assume, okay, now it became chametz? Ad hechan. Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha, Rabbi Yula dekisim, Shem Rabbi Chanina, ad kedehiluch arba'as mil. The time it takes you to walk 4 mil. That's what it says. The Mefarshim point out that in the Bavli, on Daf Membav, it says 1 mil, not 4 mil. And we usually say, right, we have the 18-minute rule. The 18 minutes, that's 1 mil. Right, there is a machlokes, achronim. How long is it, the time that it takes you to walk a mil? 18 minutes, 22 and a half minutes, or 24 minutes? Those are three shitas in the poskim. But either way, like that comes up by Bein Hashmashas. But here, there seems to be a machlokas in the Bavli and Yerushalmi, how long one would wait. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, Tuf Nun Tes says there's two elements. The Gemara here seems to say 4 mil, and the Gemara in the Bavli says 1 mil. There's also another Gemara in the Bavli that seems to say that if you're constantly moving and maneuvering the dough, maybe it never becomes chametz. Right? That's what we're always like moving it. So does that prevent it even after 18 minutes, even after 4 mil? So that's a discussion in the Rishonim. The Ritva quotes a Deya that says, oh, some understand this Gemara is saying if you're moving it, you have all the time in the world. All the time in the world. The Ritva does not like that. The Ritva quotes Rabbeinu Chananel here on Daf Mem Ches, Mem Hei. Pesha Rabbeinu Chananel, V'chein HaRambam, Shezek Shenishtav Shalom B'Shum Esek, Oz Nechmeses Kishir Mil, Avalem Hayu Oskos Bo, La'olam Lo Bahay L'dei Chimutz. If you're moving the dough and it doesn't stay, without anybody touching it, it never becomes chimutz. Because of Ritva Za'ul Divrehem, and according to their words, Mishnah Seinu B'Isa Shelashuha Shelobur Tzor Chachamim, Talakuli Alma Asur Lahashos Isa Lachadchila B'lo Shem Esek Shir Zeh. But Ritva Nasa Venatam Harbe B'Shitasi V'Hela Shein Lanu Smach L'Hak Elakach. V'Afilu Al Yedei Esek. Even if you're involved in moving it, Em Yesh Kayotzi V'Shech Mitzasur. Right, if there are others that became Muhammad's already, asur. V'im ein sham kayosibo asur kishir mil. Right, and if not, it's asur mishum mil. Shulchan Aruch, Tuf Nun Tes, lo yanichu aisa below esek, afilu rega echad. Don't leave the matzah even one moment before the amount of time. Don't you always have to be moving it? Afilu v'kolz matzah b'zaskin bo, afilu kol hayom eno machmitz. As long as you are moving it, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, it's okay. V'menicha below esek shir mil, havi chametz. If you left it for a mil, 18 minutes, without moving it, it's chametz. V'shir mil, havi revias shah v'chelek me'esrim min hashah. Says the Ramah, v'yesh lahachmir l'maher bin yasiyas ha-matzis. One said, v'shir machmir regarding the matzis, act quickly. Ki yesh lachus shahashihius yitztarfu l'shir mil. Maybe, if you left it for a minute, they'll all be mitztaref. Maybe it'll be in a warm place that it gets chametz even faster. V'chulu. So this is why we act pretty quickly when it comes to chametz. The Mishnah Berurah says, "V'hu yurches minutin sach hakol." 18 minutes. 18 minutes. That's the Mishnah. So that's the generally comes up where we have 18-minute matzahs, which are you wash and you redo the whole. The whole line, different standards that are given. The big area in halacha where we have the issues of the mil and the 4 mil is by Ben Hashmashas. If you remember, there's a stira between a Gemara in Psachim and a stira in Shabbos in the Bavli. Right? One Gemara says that the time from Shkia to Tzeis is 4 mil. The time from sunset to Tzeis HaKachavim is 4 mil. And there's another Gemara that says that the Ben Hashmashas is the time it takes to walk 3/4 of a mil, 1 mil. 1 mil, right? So it's, or 3/4 of a mil, right? So how long is, so we thought Ben Hashmashas is the time it takes to walk, the Ben Hashmashas is between Shkia and Seis. So how could one Gemara say between Shkia and Seis is 4 mil, and the Ben Hashmashas is 3/4 of a mil? Right? So how do you put those two together? So that's the Migrach Lokas, Rabbi Dutam, and the Grub. That's where comes out, the Rabbi Dutam has two Shkias. He has what we call Shkia and a much, much later Shkia. And that's what some rely on to daven mincha, late because of the double Shkia, Rabbeinu Tam, or to end Shabbos later. So where does that come from? Right? If it's 8 Ben Hashmashas, and then when you get some have 72 minutes, where does that come from? That's 4 mil, right? 18 times 4, right? And some have 96 minutes, right, after Shkia, what we call Shkia. Why? Because that's holding the Shita of mil, 18, 22 and a half, and 24. If you have 24 times 4, that would be 96. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a landmark tshuva, where he says, I looked outside in New York, and I saw it's pitch black outside after 50 minutes. So Rav Moshe Feinstein then worked backwards and says, 50 minutes must be 4 mil, right? Because it must be, because it's pitch black. This is not going to get darker. So 50 minutes must be 4 mil. So Moshe says, work backwards. How long does it take to a mil? So 25, 12 and a half. Must be 12 and a half minutes is the time it takes for 1 mil. Because Moshe says 50 minutes is 4 mil. And that's where Moshe comes up, where Moshe in a couple of tshuvas has 9 minutes for 3/4 of a mil. What does he get 9 minutes for him? He gets it working backwards. 50 minutes is 4 mil, and then 3/4 of a mil is 9 minutes. And that's why Moshe writes that you might have 9 minutes after Shkia for a Hefzik Tara, or to start Shalashudis, right? That's the 9 minutes after. Other poskim are not. They say no, it's Shkia is Shkia. But that's Rav Moshe with the 9 minutes. There's also one other Ha'ara, and then we'll do the next Mishnah. And that is the Minag of Klal Yisrael to light candles 18 minutes before Shkia. Where does that come from? So that comes based on the Yireim. The Yireim, Rav Lozmi, that's a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. Right? So he has a third Shita. How do you put together this Stira of 3/4 of a mil and 4 mil? We didn't even go into the details, but Machlokas grew on the Rabbeinu Tam. But the Yireim has a third Shita, and he says Bein HaShmashes is before Shkia. Before Shkia. We don't paskin that way. But the minhag is before Shkia. So meaning 3/4 of a mil before Shkia is already Bein HaShmashes. So when is that? So let's say you take the largest time for a mil, which is 24 minutes. 3/4 of a mil is 18 minutes. So to be choshish for the Shita of the Yireim, the minhag of Klal Yisrael came to light candles 18 minutes before Shkia. Because according to the Yireim, that's when Bein HaShmashes is before. So again, we don't pass in that way, Me'ikra Din, because do Malacha after the 18 minutes. That's where the minute came from. The Mishnah Berurah says light candles 20 minutes before. So you have 2 minutes of Tosefa Shabbos. Before the 18 minutes, according to that, is Bein HaShmashes of the Yireim. Okay, so there's a lot more there, but that's some of what has to do with the 4 mil and the 1 mil. Mishnah. So we discussed this Mishnah earlier already in the Masechta. Ketzer Mafrishin Chalos Tuma B'Yantif. It's Yantif. I'm allowed to bake on Yantif. I'm allowed to bake on Yantif, and you want fresh challah for Yantif. The problem is, what if I have a Tamei dough? Tamei dough. So if I have a tamei dough, there's a problem. Because usually when I bake on yantif, I take off a little piece of the dough and give it to the kohen, and he's going to bake his on yantif. That's fine. But if it's tamei dough, he can't bake it on yantif. He's not going to be able to eat it. So it's not included in the heter of ochal nefesh. Okay, so be mafri, bake your dough and just leave it on the side. No, then it's going to become chametz. Right? Okay, then burn it. You can't burn kachim tmeim on yantif. So you're stuck. What do you do? So there's a Rashi in Beitza that talks about, oh, why don't give it to a dog? Okay, are you allowed to do that? Maybe Rashi says that's also not allowed on Yantif, getting rid of it in any way. But what are you supposed to do? So, Ketzer Mafrishin Chalos Tuma B'Yantif. So, 3-way machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Lo Tikra, Lo Shem, Achetofe. Bake the whole thing without being Mafrish Chala. Bake the whole thing. And then every piece you'd say, oh, this is the piece that I'm going to eat. Right? And then after you bake it, as we'll see, you take out everything except the piece that you're going to leave for Chala, and that stays in the oven and gets burned. So, I'm not actively burning it, but I'm allowing it to be burned. So that's kind of a little bit iffy, but that's the best thing you could do, says Rabbi Elazar in this case. Even though really you're baking everything, including the challah tamei, which you're not allowed to bake on yantif. Okay, that's Rabbi Elazar's shita. Ben Maseira Omer Tata Latzonin. Ben Maseira said no. Mafresh regular and then put the challah into cold water and that will prevent it from becoming chametz. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Lozeo Chamesh Mizarna by Rabbi Yematze. Rabbi Yeshua says no. You don't have a choice here. This is not, you're not going to violate. Rabbi Yeshua says, Ela mafrash do manachta da'erev. Regular, be mafrash challah regularly, normally. That you could bake your dough, because you're a Yisrael baking your tamei dough, and you could eat that. And the piece of challah tamei that's here, okay. If it becomes chametz, that's not your issue. Because you are mafrash it, so it doesn't belong to you yet. It doesn't belong to any specific kohen yet, because it's, you would just put it, gave it to the shevet kahuna, you put it on the side of your counter, so nobody's going to violate by Rabbi Matzei in that case. 3 shitas in the Tanakh. Says the Gemara Masnisa, Bishanit Malachar Gilgula. This whole discussion is only if it became Tamei after you made it into a dough. And there was already a Chiyav of Chala. Avalim Nitbeis Kodim, Le Gilgula, Yasena Kavin. If it already became Tamei before you needed it. So therefore, even before it became the Chiyav of Chala was already Tamei, then basically there was no real strong Chiyav of Chala. So just knead it in very small pieces of dough, so the Chiyav of Chala never kicks in. Usually you're not allowed to do that because you're being monea yourself from a mitzvah, right? If you're baking challah, you should do it in a way. If you're baking lots of doughs, put it together and do the chiyuv of challah. I'm going to do it in small sections just to make sure that I don't have to do the mitzvah. You're only allowed to do that if originally it was tamei, even before the chiyuv of challah kicked in. And also this whole discussion is bilasha b'yantif, where you needed it on yantif, then you could open the question of, could you be mafrish on yantif? Avalam lasha may erev yantif, but if you needed a dough on erev yantif, then you can't be mafrish on yantif. Remember, being mafrish on yantif, even if it's tar, is not allowed usually because of tikkun. You can't be mafrish shumas and maisos and challah. But challah, if you baked it on yantif, if you needed it on yantif, okay, you could You know, Trumas and Maestris, you had to do before Yontif. There's no reason, there's no way that you had to be Mafra Trumas and Maestris. Well, you picked your vegetables on Yontif, you're not allowed to do that. Right? Everything was beforehand. But baking could have been done on Yontif. So usually if you bake on Yontif, you couldn't have been Mafra beforehand, then we'll allow you to be Mafra on Yontif. But if you needed it before Yontif, then it's Asur. Kahada Datani, like it says, Halashi Sabi Yontif, Mafresh Halasa Bi Yontif, Lasha Me'er of Yontif, Vishachach Lahafresh Halasa, also the Taltalo. You can't even move it because the whole thing is Tevel. Vein Sarach Lomar Li Tomi Mena. And you can't be Mafresh. So the Gemara says, make sure the whole discussion here about whether you can be Mafresh anything on Yontif is only if you needed it on Yontif. If it was done before Yontif, then you should have been Mafresh before Yontif, and if not, you're stuck. So the Gemara says, the Brisa here said that it's only if you knead it and you finish kneading it before Yontif, that's when you should have been Mafresh. Erase, which means Erev Lo Amar. If you started to knead it before Yontif, but you didn't finish it, the Brisa doesn't say that. Elolosh, Ha Erase Lo, right? If you started the kneading process before Yontif, but didn't finish it, it sounds like, you would be able to be mafrish on Yontif. Is that true? So Amar Shmuel, Achui Derebrechia, Tiftar Beisa Temeya. Sheinacha mafrish chalasa ela basof. That price is talking about only a tamei dough. Why? Because as we'll see, on a Torah level, you should have to be mafrish. You're mafrish once you finish the kneading. But midrabanan, we say, you know what, when you start the kneading. Because, you know, it's better if, you know, we don't want things to, you run into trouble. So at the beginning, right when the water and the flour touch each other, be mafresh, midrabanan. But if it's tamei, then you're not, it's tamei anyway. So you're not going to eat it. So that's why we say, that's why bisman is that. When are we mafresh? When are we mafresh challah? After it's really, after it's a dough. So if it's already a full dough, because everybody's tamei today, that's what we do it at the end. So that's why, that's what the Bryce is talking about. Don't be medayik that only if you would have finished, if you started versus finished, even if you just started it, then you can be mafresh. That's talking about a case where you're going to be mafresh l'basof. So really, the chiyav didn't kick in until Yontif. Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Bun, b'din haya be'isa darish lo yavresh chalasa el basof. Really, he should be mafresh chala, midaraisa, when should be mafresh chala? At the end of the kneading process. Takana tiknu ba shefrishana tchila shlo tami yasa isa. But they made a takana, do it at the beginning of the kneading, so that the isa, you get it out of the way, so to speak, the challah, before the isa becomes tame. Again, that's what we do bisman hazeh. Bisman hazeh, we do it at the end anyway, because it's already tame. But meheri yabana beis hamikdash, when we're all tahar, then we're going to go back to that din derabanan of being mafreshed earlier in the process, so that it doesn't become tame. Period. Continuing the Gemara, Masnisa. So again, the Braisa said that if you kneaded the dough before Yontif, that it's usur to be mafresh the dough on Yontif. 2 days in the Gemara. Masnisa b'Yontif shal Pesach. Maybe this only applies on Pesach, that you wouldn't be able to be mafresh on Yontif. Habatzeres u'bechag mutter. Right? Maybe on Shavuos and Sukkot would be mutter. Is there a difference between Pesach and the other Chagim? The Gemara says no. Rabbi Yossi bar Bun, Rav Chuna, b'shem Rav Acha, afilo batzeres u'bechag usur. Right? Even on other days, Shavuos and Sukkot are also usur. If you were mafresh beforehand, you can't do it on Yontif. Why? Al Shem, because the Pasuk says, Ka malacha lo yaseh bohem. Right, sounds like a din daraisa. We understand this pashas as an asmachta, right? Being mafresh, Jumas and Maestris is not a real malacha. But Ka malacha lo yaseh bohem, any malacha shall not be done, including being mafresh, Jumas and Maestris and Chala. Again, pashas is a din darabana. Says the Gemara, 1 second. You can't be misakein your dough on Yontif. Like by tikkun, by taking off challah, ma bin ala knivas yerek shel truma. What if you have vegetables that you have to get the peels off, right? It's also not muchan to eat. So why is it that you're allowed to peel your vegetables on Yontif, but you can't be mafresh? They're both inedible right now, and now you're making them edible. Zuru yelachila v'zuina ruyachila. That's a big difference. One is halachically edible. You're just taking off the peels. The other one, you're accomplishing something lahalacha, and therefore that, of course, you can't. There's a difference between the two. And what about separating, you're trying to eat kidneys, that the legumes that have some rocks and pebbles in the mixture, right? So there are ways to be borer on Yontif, described in the Mishnah at the beginning of Maseches Beitza. They're not really edible beforehand. You're doing it in a halachic way to be borer. So why wouldn't you, why is that different between that and hafrashas of Trumas and Maestris and Chala? So there's no answer to that question. Again, that's, yeah, you have to answer. Still, there's still a difference between a halachic, tikkun and a non-halachic tikkun. Okay, one more line. Ketzed yasal d'Rebbe Elazar. So one second. Remember Rebbe Elazar sheet of the Mishnah? So what do you do in this case of dough that's tamei? What, you leave it there, you cook it all, and you leave the piece in the end. You leave the piece in the end that's going to be the challah. Marim va'omer zuani rosa locha va'zuani rosa lecha. Every time you put a piece in the oven, yeah, I'm going to eat this one. I'm going to eat this one. This one is not the challah. This one is not the challah. And you end up putting them all in and then leaving one. Vofes kula ukshirodem. When you take it out, marim va'omer, you also say zuani rosa liyashin va'zuani rosa liyashin. I'm going to take this one out. I'm going to leave this one over. I'm going to take it out and leave it. Take it out and leave it. Umeshayir achas. So again, you're marim until you leave one in the oven. Oh, there's one in the oven. I'll use that as the challah. And passively, you will let it burn. And that's the best thing you could do, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Hashem will continue next time.